the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salaam alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about the best way to approach the Quran. Today, Sunday, is the 22nd of Jamadi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Now it's time for the Holy Quran. We'll listen to chapter Al-Isra, verse 106.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقرآنا فرقناه لتقرأه على الناس على مكث ونزلناه تنزيلا.
And it is a Quran which we have separated by intervals that you might recite it to the people over a prolonged period, and we have sent it down progressively.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the objections of the pagans related to the fact as to why the Quran has not been revealed as a whole in one part. As the verses of the Holy Quran relate to different events and they are meant to meet the requirements of all classes of the people throughout history, they are revealed in sections so as to correspond to the various events, thus becoming more pleasant for the audience. Would that ever be possible to collect all the events of 23 years in one single day so that the problem raised therein by revealed in the Quran instantly?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
Let's look at the best way to approach the Quran. The Quran is the last holy book that Allah sent down to people. The Quran was sent down to Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, Muhammad, through Gabriel, angel Jibrail, and then it reached today through being written down and reported. The Quran is a material and spiritual guide for individuals and the community. All the classes of people living in any place or time and for the whole life of man, everybody from the president to the man in the street, finds the things that are about them in the Quran. They take the knowledge and lessons that are necessary for peace and tranquility both in the world and the hereafter, fulfilling the very purpose for which the Quran was sent.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today, we are going to talk about the different approaches to the understanding of the Holy Quran. Thus, we see that none of these books can dispense with such a treatment. It means that the first step towards the research study of any book is to see to what extent the book in our hands is authentic, whether all the things recorded on it, its pages are genuine, or if only a part of it is authentic. Moreover, what criteria and standards should be employed in order to judge the authenticity and genuineness of authorship? By what logic can the authenticity of any book be totally rejected or affirmed? The Quran is absolutely exempt from all such criteria that may be applicable to all worldly books. It is regarded as the exclusively singular book. Since the ancient times, no book of ancient days has remained above doubt to such extent, despite a long lapse of several hundred years. No one can ever say about it that such and such a surah has a questionable authenticity, or such and such a verse that is present in such and such a manuscript is missing from another manuscript. The Quran stands above the notions of manuscript reading. There is no place for the slightest doubt that all of the verses that exist in the Quran are those conveyed to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who communicated them as the miraculous word of God. So nobody can ever claim that another version of the Quran existed anywhere or still exists. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
When we look at the ways of approaching the Quran with purity and intention, we reach to this point that reading the Quran with no purpose other than to receive guidance from our Lord, to come nearer to Him and to seek His good pleasure is very important. What you get from the Quran depends on what you come to it for. Your intention and purpose is crucial. Certainly, the Quran has come to guide you, but you may also go astray by reading it should you approach it for impure purposes and wrong motives. Allah in the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 26 says, "Thereby He causes many to go astray, and thereby He guides many, but thereby He causes none to go astray save the inequitous."
هذا النور شفاء صدور فاض وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن.
What attitude should I have towards the Quran? All of us, dear friend, have a set of pre-convinced notions and perceptions about life, Quran and Islam that we gather from our respective cultures and societies. If we read the Quran thinking that we already know the truth, will not gain true benefit from it. We will only be able to grasp the message if we open our mind for it. When approaching the Quran, we should cast aside our perceptions and try to understand the Quran as it was understood by the infallible Imams. Moreover, when the Quran says something that contradicts our beliefs, it is our beliefs that we must change and not the Quran. Those who are not willing to accept the teachings as they are, try to twist them to suit their own and take verses out of context to justify their actions and positions. This leads to misguide instead of guidance. And the Quran mentions that some people are indeed misguided by it.
أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله وسلامه عليه indeed encourages you and I to take this holy book very seriously in our lives. It is narrated in a beautiful narration that he says, تعلموا كتاب الله. Make sure that you take a primary objective in your lives, and that is to educate yourselves about the book of Allah. فَإِنَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْحَدِيثِ It is no doubt the best of speech. وَأَبْلَغُ الْمَوْعِظَةِ It is the best of counsel and advice. وَتَفَقَّهُ فِيهِ فَإِنَّهُ رَبِيعُ الْقُلُوبِ Seek its knowledge because it will what? It will strengthen your hearts. It will bring forth some kind of a spring in your heart. And then he goes on to say, وَاسْتَشْفِعُوا بِنُورِهِ فَإِنَّهُ شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ Seek enlightenment from its light because it brings healing for that which exists on the chests. وَأَحْسِنُوا تِلَاوَتَهُ فَإِنَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْقَصَصِ And recite it in the best possible way because the narratives and the stories you'll find in the Quran, the Imam says, are indeed the best. That's why you and I today, when we reflect on our day-to-day modern world, we find if you go, for example, on YouTube, you look for the most viewed clip. Or if you go to TripAdvisor, you want to find the best reviews for a particular hotel or an airline. Or, for example, if you're wanting to buy a particular gadget, you look for the best reviews. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says categorically, the Holy Quran is the best in terms of what you and I can obtain as far as inspiration is concerned.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, which was about the best way to approach the Quran. Inshallah, we continue this interesting and, of course, essential topic. Thank you very much and keep us in your dua and supplications. Till another meeting, have a nice time.
موعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Hello. food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate upon the words of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, regarding his blissful marital life with Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. By Allah, I never angered Fatima or forced her to do something that she did not like, up to the day she passed away. Nor did she ever anger or disobey me. In fact, when I looked at her, depression and sadness would vanish from my heart.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This beautiful hadith is about those people who lead others astray. As you know, leading other people astray is very bad. In one hadith, not the hadith we want to recite today, but in another hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Verily the most evil of people in the sight of Allah is the tyrannical leader who himself has gone astray, and through whom others go astray as well. He abolishes, establishes practices, and revives abandoned innovations." So just as guiding people to the right path is something very good and virtuous, and you know, the person who guides people to the right path, not only is he doing something good and gaining a reward, but the people who are guided by means of him and who perform good deeds and are rewarded because of those good deeds, when those people perform those good deeds, this person who guided them, you know, he also gets a portion and some reward for that. And this is something that remains. This is one of those instances and cases of baqiyatu salihat, as they say, you know, righteous deeds that remain in this world even after a person has gone away. Conversely, a person who leads other people astray, right, even after he has died, right, let's say that he wrote a book that in which there was incorrect information, and because of that, he guided people away from the right path. He misguided people, and he led them away from the right path. You know, if this book remains even after he died, and people continue to be misguided because of it, he will continue to get punished, and he will see the evil consequences of this in the hereafter, even after he has gone. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Verily, the most detested of all people in the sight of Allah are two: the man who Allah has relegated to his own carnal self, so he has deviated from the straight path, and is passionately fond of talking about innovations and misguiding others towards the wrong path. He tempts those who are charmed by him. He himself has strayed away from the guidance of his predecessors and misleads those who follow him during his life as well as after his death." This is a reference to what we were talking about. "He carries the burdens of others' sins and is entangled in his own misdeeds." Okay, so this is a very, very grave sin, and that's why it's important. Like, for example, when you want to, you know, help somebody and guide him to the right path, let's say, it's important to be sure about what you're talking about. Like, for example, let's say you want to recite a hadith for a person. Make sure that you're reciting the hadith in a proper way. Let's say that you want to inform somebody about a religious ruling, an edict, you know, a law. Make sure you have correct knowledge and you're sure about it. Reference it. Check it before you do so. You don't want to tell this person the wrong ruling and end up misguiding the person instead of guiding him and then seeing the evil consequences of that. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at those who lead others astray in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجي
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters dear listeners and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And I am really happy to inform you that some of the students of Sevier International School are here with us in this session, and I really welcome them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you all right?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome. Ali Nasir.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, good. And Fawad Haider.
Salam, sir.
Salam.
I'm fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Salamu alaikum, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Salamu alaikum. So, welcome, brothers. Inshallah, in this session, Surah An-Nas will be our main topic. The last surah in the Quran, which we have right now in front of us. So, we will practice, inshallah, the recitation of Surah An-Nas, a short explanation. And then, yes, the Tajweed rules, okay? So, before we start, everyone, let's all together listen to the recitation of this surah once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, malikin nas, ilahin nas, min sharril waswasil khannas, alladhi يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
That was nice. That was great. Now I will be reciting. Make sure you listen and repeat, brothers and sisters, please. The last page of the Quran, okay? Surah An-Nas. So, it has six verses. Inshallah, I will recite. Make sure you repeat, okay? Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل أعوذ برب الناس
قل أعوذ برب الناس
ملك الناس
ملك الناس
إله الناس
إله الناس
من شر الوسواس الخناس
من شر الوسواس الخناس
الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس
الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس
من الجنة والناس
من الجنة والناس
أحسنتم ما شاء الله Allah may bless you inshallah Surah An-Nas, which means Surah of the People, okay? It talks about a very, very important point that we all have to remember in our minds, okay? Guys, we all have to seek refuge, okay? Seek protection, okay? Of our Allah Almighty, okay? Our Lord, from any kind of temptations of shaitan, any kinds of badnesses, any kinds of evils, all right? So it's something important, yeah? We all know that we all have to ask Allah Almighty to help us. Sometimes we might face a lot of kind of difficulties. And yes, our iman will be tested, will be examined some most of the times in difficulties. When we face troubles, when we get into troubles, okay? Yeah, Allah Almighty wants to just test you how believe, how much belief, okay, you have in me, in Allah Almighty, okay? How much do you believe in Allah? That Allah is going to help you. How much do you really deserve that Allah Almighty should bless or shower His blessings upon you? So in difficulties, in troubles, or in when evil things happen to us, or when the shaitan is going to tempt us, okay? Is the temptations of shaitan, okay? When we face. So here, yes, the iman will be tested. Will you go and step on the footsteps of shaitan, or no, you will still have a strong belief in Allah Almighty, and you will, continue believing in Allah Almighty, okay? Being a mu'min. Here Allah Almighty says a very important point. Actually, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, it's the attribute of Allah Almighty, who is the owner, who is the sovereign of humans. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, the God of humans, okay? مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ, from the evil of the sneaky tempter, who puts, الَّذِي وَسْوَسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, who puts temptations into the breasts, into the chests of human beings, into the hearts of human beings, okay? من الجنة والناس, from among the jinn and humans. Here, I want to tell you, sometimes the evil things, okay, the temptations are made by human beings. Yes? Sometimes by our friends. You walk with your friend says, come on, there is something very nice in the shop. Let's take it. Let's hold it. Let's pick it. Okay? Let's eat it. This is a temptation of shaitan, but in the face of human being. It appears as a human being. The temptation of shaitan appears, and for example, in one of your friends. Or a lot of times your friends try to, for example, God forbid, share some types of jokes which are not really okay. Okay? So here, yes, these jokes, okay, are not appropriate for you. So they might put you in danger of having a kind of, for example, weak belief, okay? Or it tempts you in a way. Waswas, okay, we say. Waswasa. So this is important. Only jinns, only the shaitan is not there, okay? Sometimes human beings are also working as shaitan. Alright? You should be very much careful. That's all, okay, about the message. I just wanted to tell you, okay, brothers and sisters, from this surah. Make sure you refer to the Fasir book, okay? Each and every word in this surah has a lot of meanings. So make sure you go to the Tafasir books. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Now, the very important part about the practical tajweed rules, we have to pay attention, because sometimes in our prayers, okay, we don't have to always read Surah At-Tawheed, yes? A lot of people have used to read Surah At-Tawheed or recite Surah At-Tawheed or Al-Ikhlas in their prayers. After the Al-Fatiha, yeah, they recite these surahs. Yes? You can recite in other surahs, small surahs, memorize them. So one of these surahs, you can recite, instead of Surah Tawheed, you can recite Surah An-Nas, right? But you have to know how to recite it correctly. Let's go. قُلْ أَعُوذُ. Make sure Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a part of the surah, okay? A part of the first ayah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ. أَعُوذُ. Hamza and Ayn. It's important, right? That, ذُ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ. Can you recite? قُلْ أَعُوذُ.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ.
أحسن. ذَال is important, okay? ذَال is important. Do not say قُلْ أَعُوذُ. أَعُوذُ or أَعُوذُ. No, ذَال is important. بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ.
بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ.
Okay. The تشديد on the نون. نون مشدد must be pronounced with a nasal sound. Bi rabbin nas. All right?
Yes.
Okay. Next one, the yeah, if you want to make it more beautiful, a beautiful recitation, you can stretch the sound of nas, okay? And change the mad tabi'i or natural mad into a madul arad, the sukun, a longer mad. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. But you don't have to recite this way in your prayer, okay? It's just a beautiful recitation. But you can recite, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. So all the word nas that we have, the word nas that we have at the end of each ayah, in the three first ayahs, and also in the two last ayahs. So, yeah, noon mushaddad produce a ghunna sound, a nasal sound, okay? So, repeat after me. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ.
مَلِكِ النَّاسِ.
مَلِكِ النَّاسِ.
One thing, make sure you do not prolong the sound of the ghunna sound too much, okay? Malikin nas.
Malikin nas.
Great. Two counts. Ilahin nas.
Ilahin nas.
Great. So, Malikin nas, Ilahin nas. There is a baby alif on the top of la. Right? Ilahin nas. So, that's pronounced as a complete alif. Ilahinnas, ilahinnas, no, ilahinnas, right?
Yeah.
Min sharril waswasil khannas.
Min sharril waswasil khannas.
Great. Min sharril nun sakin plus sheen.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. Min sharril, but there's a different ikhfa. Yeah?
Yeah.
You gotta hide the sound, but let your listener understand sheen is gonna come out. Yes? It's going to be pronounced. The next letter is sheen. Listen. Min sharril waswasil khannas. Right? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. No difficult rule here. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. That's it. Simple as that. So, alhamdulillah, you've learned the tajweed rules, which were not a lot, actually. The pronunciation of the letters, the nun mushaddad, alif mad, and ikhfa we had. Yes? Then pronunciation of the letter sad is as well important. And the ra as well. We don't have any tafkhim here for ra. We have tarqiq, sharri. Yes? Suduri, tarqiq, which is pronounced lightly. So, Fawad Haider, do you have any questions?
No.
Inshallah, I hope, okay, that you guys, for the interpretations, for more explanations, refer to the tafsir book, inshallah. But practice, inshallah, the recitation as well with tajweed rules. If no questions, brothers and sisters, we really thank you for being with us in this session, and we really recommend you stay with us in IRIB English Radio every day, one session of Quranic lessons. So, thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, thanks to Sevier International Schools Network, and the students here, and walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا
به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab, Ya Ilahi wa Sayyidi wa Mawlaya wa Malik Irqi, Ya Man Biyadihi Nasiyati, Ya Ali Man Bidhurri wa Maskanati, Ya Khabiran Bifakri wa Faqati.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we have reached this excerpt of the Divine Kumail Supplication. The Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab, My Lord, My Lord, My Lord, Ya Ilahi wa Sayyidi wa Mawlai, My Allah, My Master and My Protector, Wa Malika Riqqi, O Owner of My Bondage, Ya Man Biyadihi Nasiyati, O He in whose hand is my forelock. Ya Aliman Bidhurri wa Maskanati, O He who knows my affliction and my misery. Ya Khabiran Bifakri wa Faqati, O the one who is aware of my poverty and my indigence. Previously, when we started discussing this part of the Kumail supplication, we mentioned the fact that some of the favorite and righteous servants of the Almighty Allah believe that this word, the word Rabb, that has been repeated three times in this part, in the beginning part of this, is the exalted or chief name of the Almighty Allah. And in Arabic, it means an owner who trains his creatures wisely and by his mercy. The Holy Quran says, Rabbi habli hukman wa alhiqni bis-salihin. As we can see, the prophets and the infallibles start their supplication with the word Rabb. Rabbi habli hukman. My Lord, grant me wisdom. Even the Almighty Allah has taught the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَقُرْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ And say, My Lord, forgive and have mercy. And you are the best of all who shows mercy. So, the believer and righteous servants, when pondering on the creation of heavens and the earth, the Holy Quran states, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا Our Lord, you have not created this in vain. Subhanak, glory be to you. This is what the Holy Quran is implicitly telling us and teaching us, that we start our supplications with the word Rabb.
Master of my freedom, oh you who
holds my destiny and who is aware of my suffering and poverty. Oh, he who knows my destitution and starvation.
Thank you, Allah.
Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. Feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Even the Holy Quran, dear listeners, about the importance of the word Rabb, mentioning the word Rabb in the beginning of the supplication, says that Satan, who was the most proud one, asked for respite until the last day by this name. He said, "Give me a respite till the day when they are raised." And the Almighty Allah accepted that request. And gave him respite only because he referred to Allah's exalted name. It is narrated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, "Anyone who says 'My Lord' for 7 times, Allah will fulfill his wish." Our traditions are replete with the important points regarding the prerequisites of the acceptance of supplication. It is also narrated that when a believing servant says, "My Lord," once, Almighty Allah says, "Here I am." When he repeats that, when he calls Allah for the 2nd time and 3rd time, he will be addressed, "Ask me so I may grant you." Because that is the very Lord who has told us, "Ud'uni astajib lakum," call for me and I will answer you. So this has been one of the common prayers of all the prophets, imams, and Allah's favorite servants. They always started their requests, their greatest requests, so to say, with this exalted or chief name of the Almighty Allah, Rabb. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb. And after that, one of the common prayers of the imams, prophets, and Allah's favorite servants has always been for the Almighty to accept their deeds and to treat them with His mercy. They have been aware of the fact that no one is in Almighty Allah's position to forgive their sins. They have been aware that Almighty Allah is the absolute cause and He is the only one that they can turn to for acceptance of their repentance and for accepting their deeds and also treating them with His mercy. We have got a lot to speak about this part of the Divine Kumail supplication, dear listeners, and the rest will remain for the next episode, inshallah. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. How
close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Ata, the host of this program. We have a very special guest speaker for today's program, Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about keeping vigil during the night as an Islamic ritual, and whether we can say this act has any positive effects and benefits for a Muslim lifestyle or not. First of all, give us some details about, we can say, the meaning of keeping vigil during the night, or tahajjud, as some they call it. What is it exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before answering your question, I would like to refer to the fact that although it is highly encouraged for Muslim to act upon this deed, but at the end of the day, this is a recommended deed.
Yes.
So if it leads to us, not being able to act upon an obligation, it means that it is not a recommended deed anymore. So imagine, of course, some people may look for excuses not to do tahajjud. This is another story. But my point is that if you are going to keep vigil during the night, but in the following day you are not able to act upon your responsibilities. For example, when you go to school, you feel asleep, or when you're going to your office, or before that, you're not able to wake up for your morning prayer. So I said that because the verses and the narration that I'm going to share, all of them, they are referring to the importance of, tahajjud, keeping night vigil. But we shouldn't forget that at the end of the day, this is a recommended deed, and we should pay more attention to the obligations.
That's right.
Usually at tahajjud is referring to being awake from midnight. I'm talking about shar'i midnight, the time that Isha prayer is, the time for Isha prayer is over.
Yes.
Which, for example, in Iran is around 11:15 to 11:30 p.m. until the time for Adhan Astor, for morning call to prayer. So this is the time for tahajjud, usually speaking, based on the narrations. So in and of itself, keeping vigil in some nights is recommended, like the Laylatul Qadr, for example. Even if you may not do anything, but keeping vigil in that night, during that night, is recommended.
Yes.
But except for such nights, then keeping vigil means to, be engaged in acts of worship. It can be anything. It can be reading a book, for example, which is helpful for your religion.
Yes.
And it can be reciting the Quran,